Blog.
Greetings, listeners. Good morning, and welcome to BWP Online with the Coffee Lady. That's me. I'm your host, Rhonda Kuykendall-Devati, and we are streaming live on Blog Talk Radio from Southern California. It's a little gray outside today, but that's okay. I'm going to still claim this as a sunshine state. Today is August 23rd, 2008. And I am very excited to be here with you again as we share new and better ways to take radically good care of ourselves naturally. Today's guest is Carolyn Coleridge, MSW. She's also an intuitive counselor, coach, and healer. Carolyn and I will discuss the importance of intuitive healing to maintaining mind-body-spirit alignment. So make sure you stick with us through the entire show. I am so glad just to be able to welcome all of our listeners here today. And questions and comments are welcome during the show by calling 347-933. I'm sorry, folks, I said that wrong. 633-9371. That's 347-633-9371. We also offer a chat environment where you can type your questions into the chat screen. And they will be relayed by today's chat host, the warm and welcoming Ms. Akila Collins of Key to Wellness. Akila, are you there with us?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful, and I am so glad that you're able to be here to work with us again. I think you do a great job with our listeners, and we've certainly had comments from listeners and guests that talk about your level of professionalism and how well you manage that chat room. A little intimidating for those of us who are less able.
thank you. You're so kind.
Akila is a gifted healer in her own right who helps people discover their own unique integration of personalized nutrition and self-care. Do yourself a favor and visit her website at www.keytowellness.com. That's www.keytowellness.com. BWP is for beauty, wellness, and prosperity. And that's what we'll talk about every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific time. It is my belief that self-care is the only level of care that matters. Without it, all other categories of care are rendered useless. BWP Online is an extension of the monthly Beauty, Wellness, and Prosperity Networking Series that takes place every third Sunday in Los Angeles, California, at the famous Lucy Florence Cultural Center in the Leimert Park Village. To learn more, visit our website at www.coffee-lady.com or www.lucyflorence.com, and both of those web addresses are linked in the text from my profile page on Blog Talk Radio. BWP Online is here to educate, enlighten, inform, and empower you to adopt a self-caring lifestyle in which you take radically good care of yourself by giving to, nurturing, supporting, and caring for yourself before you attempt to nurture, support, or care for others. Every Saturday, we welcome guests who have made it their life's work to help others achieve a higher standard of living through the natural wellness of mind, body, and spirit. Information shared on BWP Online is not to be taken as medical advice. It is for information and entertainment purposes only. If you are sick or suffering from symptoms of illness, we recommend you consult your personal physician or the healer of your choice. Now, sit back, relax, breathe, grab a cup, and listen up. Today, I welcome Carolyn Coleridge. Carolyn holds a master's degree from Columbia University, NYC, in clinical social work. She is a spiritually oriented counselor with 12 years' experience using a holistic approach to helping clients to grow, heal, and transition through life difficulties. Carolyn incorporates using universal law to work through difficulties and allow life to flow more freely. Today, Carolyn is going to help us discover new ways to bring mind, body, and spirit into alignment so we can live well and more fully. And I'm going to check our lines and see which one of these is Carolyn. Let's see. caller from area 484. Are you there? Hello?
Yes. 484 is here, but that's Dr. Nee.
Oh, hi, Dr. Nee. Thank you so much for listening in today. Thank you. And just press 1 if you have questions during the show.
Okay.
Great. One moment. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello,
is this Carolyn?
Yeah, this is.
Oh, okay, there's no phone number showing up, so I didn't recognize
who
you were. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, good morning.
I need to be on one of these lines. Good morning, and thank you so much, Carolyn, for giving us your time and sharing your wisdom with us today. Now, I'm going to dive right in because there are so many things. I can be really narcissistic on my show. I always have guests with whom I'm really impressed anyway. And I have a million different questions for you. Now, you're calling in from where, Carolyn?
Oh, Los Angeles. I live in Miracle Mile.
Oh, okay. So we're right here together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your background is really interesting, and I just think it's wonderful how you've managed to align your gifts with your professional occupation as an MSW and therapist in UCLA's Pediatric Pain Management Program. How did you pull that one off?
Oh, well, usually for me, spirit is what drives me and what pushes me to do different things. I was working as a primary therapist at Kaiser, and I was having a lot of intuitive experiences working with the clients, even way before that. And I was moving clients a lot quicker than everyone else, basically, you know, reading their souls and getting information, and they were getting better, and they were calling their friends and telling them to come to therapy to see me, and it was kind of strange. So I kind of outgrew that position, and I didn't know what to do. And actually, I wrote about my experiences in the book Spirit of Women Entrepreneurs, of how spirit kind of pushed me out of that because they wanted me to use not just my therapy skills, but skills as an intuitive and a healer. So I ended up leaving that job out of a lot of drama. I was ill, et cetera, and I had to go because it wasn't aligning with me. And that's the first sign you know things aren't working is when you get sick. So I ended up just working at the medical social work department just on the weekends. And during the week, I just started doing readings and healings. And I met a woman who at Agape. We were working together side by side doing a healing volunteer day, and she said, oh, you know, you're a great healer. You worked at UCLA. We're just chatting. She worked at UCLA, the pediatric pain program, and she said, you should come on board and work with us there. So I went and interviewed with them, and it worked out. They liked me right away and said, sure, come on and work with us. And I was kind of surprised that spirit worked so quickly that I would be working as a healer for a CAM team, complementary alternative medicine team. So spirit really pushed me into that arena because I never would have, you know, applied or thought about it or known. So,
wow, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. Well, it was really like you honored yourself, and then the universe just kind of opened up and rose to meet you.
At that time, a lot of different things happened. My first article was published, and I wrote about honoring your spirit exactly, you know, and that was published, and then. I had do a lot of, a producer came to me to do a show and never came about, but I was, like, not interested in doing a show. Somebody at Agape gave me free headshots, so that's why the headshot I have is so great.
Love that headshot.
Yeah, and she's a really top celebrity photographer. She goes to Agape, and she wanted to do something for the Well-Being Center. So those were $25 for 50 headshots, which, you know, in LA is unheard of.
Oh, my goodness.
At the time, of course, I didn't have a lot of money. I was just working and doing readings and healings and stuff. So everything was falling into place of pushing me outside of my box and outside of the realm of what I was doing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Very impressive. I love your background. And I think that what moved me the most as I was learning and researching you and learning more is we know that no one wants to see a child suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And that UCLA even has a pediatric pain management program was incredible to me, but that they kind of broke out of their boxed-in thinking and said, we need to do whatever we can do to make sure that these children are made comfortable as quickly as possible. And so they really stepped outside the box to get you involved in the program.
Well, Lonnie Zeltzer, the pediatrician who started the program, it's about 12 years ago, and it completely runs on grants. She's an amazing grant writer. She had the vision and the dream, and she knew complementary alternative medicine meaning there's an acupuncturist on our team. There's a cranial sacral, a biofeedback person,
wow.
hypnotherapist. I'm the energy healer. There's someone who does massage, and I think and physical therapy. That's what's needed. And there actually are about 12 different CCIMs, complementary certified integrative medicine programs at UCLA. So there's a lot of progression because there's a lot of research that this is actually helping and healing. And
wow.
it does help the children who are, you know, in chronic pain. Some of them have cancer. Some of them are just have a pain that never goes away. And I think it's a lot of information about why that happens. But I think there's a lot of chronic, there's a lot of negative energy and a lot of food and diets and different things that are making kids sicker younger. It's really kind of scary. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. How incredible. Well, I just say bless you for the work that you do and for the gift that you give to the universe. I thank you. Now, a lot like our guest last week, Deb Riesbeck, you know, you really possess heightened sensitivities like spiritual sight and intuition. Can you give us an idea of how in your private practice these talents help you to help others?
Oh, okay. Well, privately I do, you know, pretty much professional readings, you know, intuitive readings. I call them soul readings. And I've always had the gifts, and my mother is that way, my grandmother, both sides are pretty intuitive and actually did a lot of healings. My mother didn't. She's a chemist, but she always had dreams, and she kind of guided the family along with all her dreams. And basically what I do is I just listen to spirit. I tap in. I know directly what's happening with them. I usually go into either the heart or, you know, or into the mind or the spirit, and I just hear messages. Or sometimes I see visions. I see colors around them, because I feel like sometimes therapy takes way too long. So I think a good therapist is good, too. If people are at that level, depends on the level that you're at spiritually. But the planet is evolving, and people are not just looking at their personalities. They're looking at their spirit, their personality, their soul. They're looking at different levels of dimensions, as we should say. And I just, you know, was just one of the people that stood up and said, you know, I'm okay with doing this, you know, or spirit actually pushed me into doing it. So I usually have them take 3 deep breaths, because what breathing does, because you did that at the beginning of your show, it helps the spirit open up. Because when you breathe, you connect with God, Source. The breath is what keeps us here on the planet. When the breath is gone, you're gone. So taking a deep breath, and I recommend people take 3 to 5 a day and at night, it really opens up your spirit. And when your spirit and your soul opens up, all your history, your energy, your what you're storing, the energy that's coming during the day will come through. So when they do that, all of a sudden, like, all this information usually comes out, and they usually start off with something they're going through. So that's basically how I work with them.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Now, I have to say this. You just said that I do this at the beginning of my show, which I do.
Uh-huh.
But how do you know that?
I heard you. You said take a deep breath.
Oh, okay. I'm going, because I do 3 deep cleansing breaths before I go on air, and I'm going, can they hear me doing those 3 deep cleansing breaths?
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't tune into you, actually.
Okay. I'm going to say, got to fix that.
No. Actually, that's one thing about spiritual and soul work is that you don't tune into somebody without their permission. So if I tuned into you, I would have known. But because it can be overwhelming for people to kind of pick up things about you without you asking. So, you know, it's probably just aligning. We're just aligning with the same type of you know, mentality of what helps.
Oh, yes, certainly. And I've certainly sensed that throughout this whole process of just getting you here.
Right.
Wow. Now, you mentioned illness as a sign that something's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us more about how someone knows when their mind, body, and spirit are out of alignment? What are the signs and or symptoms?
Okay. There's usually the first, easiest one. Now, I look at the body as kind of a roadmap as to what's going on in our life. And the different aspects of the body or different positions in the body, we call them energy centers or chakras.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically energy centers, and I can feel them and sometimes see them. And they are spinning energy within the body. And usually if there's something stored in different aspects of the body, for example, the throat chakra, which is just the throat area in the physical terms, or the heart chakra, or the stomach chakra, which is the solar plexus, that usually means something's going on with different aspects of the person's life. The throat has to do with communication and speaking up for yourself, obviously. The heart has to do with pain, grief, depression. The solar plexus has to do with power, solar meaning sun. So it has to do with somebody's ability to feel their will to do something, their discipline, their ability to be here. And the chakra system goes all the way down to the second one, which is the sacral, the sexual creative chakra, and the first one, which is the security, creativity. I'm going out of order, but the sixth one is the third eye, and then the top one is the crown, which are all have to do with what somebody's doing emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So if somebody has problems in their heart chakra, meaning that they've had chest pains, palpitations, they've had some kind of sadness and grief, usually something will happen within the heart area. And if it's prolonged, it could produce really serious illnesses like heart attacks, et cetera. Now, I work part-time at a hospital, and I work in the critical unit, which means that people come in and they're not exactly supposed to be hospitalized directly. They're supposed to be like kind of in a waiting period. And generally, they'll have like high risk issues, but a lot of times they'll have chest pains. And you'll see a lot of people under 40 with chest pains, and nothing's wrong with them. No high blood pressure, no medical problems. It's just their chest is out of whack, and there's heart palpitations. And generally, when I talk to them, I say, did something happen to you recently? Are you sad? And they'll start crying, and they'll say, oh, my husband left me, or my child ill, or something. And you know that the grief, the emotions have been stored in the body there. So does that make sense? It's like,
yeah, that does.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, so when somebody's body is out of alignment, even when their leg is out of alignment, like if their leg hurts them and there's nothing really wrong with them, I'll say, are you afraid of moving forward? So that's what I mean. Like the body, like, will tell you different aspects of going through, or a pain in the neck. Like, who's bothering you in your life that you're not able to, speak to directly? So different kind of ailments in the body are the first sign that something's that you're out of alignment.
Wow. And I'd like to add to that as well, that I know that I'm out of alignment when I'm moving toward a goal, and this is something more grounded in the material world. When I'm moving in a direction and I feel like, and I'm spending time on, real time is passing, I'm spending time on reaching a goal, but I'm not getting any closer, because we know that the universe responds to direct right action. if you do the steps, if you ask, if you act as if you open yourself up to receive, it's going to come to you if it is the right thing for you. And when I find myself kind of like a hamster on a wheel, I usually stop and do a self-check and say, something's out of alignment here. My actions are not lining up with my purpose or with my true heart desire. And you're right, there's usually also a physical symptom that goes along with that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really interesting.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, please.
Well, you bring up a good point, is that, yeah, there's different ways. It's not just the body. Sometimes the body's fine, and people don't realize there's anything going on. But if you are trying to move forward in a goal and it's too hard, it's too difficult, it's too stressful, that's usually a roadblock. Spirit's putting that in the way to say, try a different way. There's something easier. Go in deeper. Take some deep breaths. Meditate, get into what is really going on, what do you really want to do. So that is absolutely the best sign, yeah.
Okay. And so is there more that we can talk about in terms of how the misalignment plays into the pursuit and achievement of whole life balance?
Well, there's a lot to talk about. I don't know where to get started. Definitely. Usually what happens, that's when people come to me. There's something that, it's off in their life. Maybe they're trying to, achieve a goal or move forward, and they feel like everything is not working. And usually they're not listening to themselves. They're not listening to their spirit. They're listening to externals or outside things, or they're looking for, success in the wrong way. For example, I used to work on Wall Street. I had a lot of people that used to come and make a lot of money but be absolutely miserable. And they would come in saying that they wanted to, I really want to be a Buddhist monk, but I have to work at this job to make this car and live in this life and live in this lifestyle. But it wasn't aligned with what their soul or their spirit wants. So, I would help them kind of, you know, move into what they really wanted deep within themselves by meditation, by prayer, by writing about it. Writing is a great way to get things out, by making a list, honestly, you know, when you wake up in the morning, like, what are the things that I want to achieve, you know, before all our mind comes down and starts saying, this is not accurate, this is not right, you know, oh, no, you don't want that. So a lot of ways to move forward is, first of all, to get quiet, you know, to spend time either in meditation, spend time in nature, spend time with yourself writing, just freelance journaling. There's something called Morning Pages, started by, her name is Miss Cameron, and she talks about just writing 3 pages in the morning, every morning.
The artist's way, right. Right, okay.
right. Trying to think of her first name.
Julia, I think.
That's it? Yeah. And I met her. She's wonderful. She's actually had a lot of nervous breakdowns, which is amazing. And that's how she got through them, was, and she writes about it in a book, is to write. So writing gets out energy out of your soul and out of your spirit. If you want to be happy, you have to get in touch with your spirit and your soul. You have to get in touch with what makes you feel good, not what everyone else is telling what's right for you. So so in terms of aligning yourself, you know, it's hard for me to help people sometimes if they are holding on to, like, physical plane things, if they're holding on to things that aren't helping them, like maybe alcohol addiction or overeating or other things. It's hard because they're not ready yet, but I can help them get there by giving them symptoms or steps to help them to get more in line with what they really want. So it's a big process, and it depends on if it's physical, or emotional, or spiritual. But people who are seeking a spiritual intuitive or spiritual healer are usually on some kind of spiritual path, and I can use that string to help them to move forward.
Wow, that's incredible. Okay, so if we then, before I ask this question, I'm going to check with Akilah. Akilah, are there any questions for us in the chat room?
Yes, Rhonda, there is a question, and that question is, what if the thing your spirit put you in touch with is way before its time?
Wow.
Can you repeat the question?
What if the thing your spirit puts you in touch with is way before its time?
Hmm.
And maybe the listener can elaborate a little bit on that question.
Yeah, I was wondering what the thing is. So I'm not really understanding what you mean. What if something happens before you're ready?
Let's see. So, listener, can you expound on that for us?
She may be typing, so
okay.
Give her a few seconds.
Okay.
How did you understand it, Rhonda?
I was thinking that she's sensing that she was called to do something that she feels the outer world is not really ready to support, and so maybe she's a little fearful of moving ahead. It's before its time.
I see. Oh, some kind of project or something that she wants to do. Well, usually when the spirit comes forward, if that is the question, we can address that. That means that you're ready. and fear is the number one issue that blocks people to move forward. And that's why you would need a coach or a support network or something like your support groups that you run and the work that you do to help you to support your dream. Spirit will keep pushing to what is aligned with what feels right with your soul. So if you ask, like I asked, for example, I asked to be a healer. I said, yeah, I think I could be a healer. I'm pretty good at that. And then all of a sudden my job, like, left me, you know, and all of a sudden UCLA came in, and then Agape says, do you want to do, you know, healing work for us? And the healing teacher said, why don't you get a massage table? Here's half the money. I mean, you know, like, things started lining up. Yeah, so you have to, listen to the calls, because I wasn't listening and I got sick. So, and sickness is just a symptom of being out of, you know, disease, being out of alignment with what my real pursuit or real project or what real goals are in life, because your spirit comes in knowing what it's supposed to do. There is, like, a pre-plan for every soul that comes into their physical body as to what they're supposed to create and what they're supposed to accomplish this lifetime. So when you get off track, all of a sudden, somehow you get realigned, either through illness, either through trauma, losing a job, maybe a car accident. Something will happen to say, wait a minute, let me become still. Let me think about what is it, what I really want to do, and then move forward. Now, the way to work through fear is you have to build up some kind of spiritual practice or a spiritual understanding that you are divine in a physical body. And when you realize that, and you can do that through going to church or meditating or joining a group, you start to start working with the divine energy and hearing the synchronicities or feeling them, getting intuitive insights, knowing which person to call, knowing where to find a workshop that tells you the exact message. So that's how, you know, you move forward with it. The world is always ready for everything because everything is already done, as we say at Agape. Everything is already complete. Every new ideal has already been done in spirit. So there's really, you know, in a way, there's no time in terms of the world's not ready for me. I hope that, yeah.
Okay. Akila, did you get any more from the listener?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I think the question has to do with, and I think that Carolyn covered it somewhat, but I think the question is around what if your spirit is pushing you or guiding you towards something that is not understood by others yet. You know, it's too advanced of a concept for the average person or the dominant culture to really get.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of causes you to be out of, to seem, you know, maybe odd or out of place in society.
Wow. I think anyone who's an intuit or a sensitive, I've certainly lived through it. You know, I think it kind of comes with the territory, but I also believe that, as Carolyn said, really, and Carolyn, that was a great epiphany for me. It's like, you know, she's absolutely right, that spirit's not going to put it on you if you're not ready. So all other things aside, you know. But Carolyn, did you want to add anything else to that?
Yeah. And also, you know, I do believe in source. I do believe in God, and I believe there's a plan for everyone, that we're not sent here alone. We're not sent here like the only one that can – create some kind of healing network for kids. There's usually other people, other souls who have the same mission or a similar mission, and that they will come up when you come out, so to speak, and support you. So you just have to take that first step, and that's probably what's part of your soul plan is, I'm nervous to do this. I want to be able to accomplish something I never did before or no one ever did on the planet. I want to be the first one to do this. And how am I going to move forward? And usually what happens is that if you really go within, for some reason, I don't have the person's name, but for some reason I feel like she's a dreamer, like someone who has powerful dreams. If you go within your dream work or you go, you know, start writing down things that come through spirit in your dream time, that the answer will come to you. It is hard. And what's happened to me on several occasions, I had ideas that I wanted to do that I thought were a little bit more progressive. And then 5 years later, I saw it happen. Like, I wrote a story about a little boy who was, you know, really psychic, and he had all these experiences, and he talked to his dead relatives, et cetera. And I wrote it I was part of the Harlem Writers Guild, and they all loved it. And they said, you got to, you know, move this forward, et cetera. And I never moved forward with it, but I thought it was a great story, and they thought it was so progressive. And then that movie, Say The Kid That Sees Dead People, M. Night Shyamalan.
The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, it came out, and I was like, this is exactly what I was thinking about. And I thought I was at Columbia, and it was very, conservative, and no one talked about psychic kids. And,
wow.
There's probably many other people that had similar ideas. So you're never really alone, you know, and we are all connected spiritually. So if you have an idea, somebody in, you know, Poland or Norway has the same idea. I mean, not to say that you shouldn't do it, but there's different ways to create the same goal, and there's different ways. Like, there could be two like recently I met somebody who's written a lot of books about the soul. I went on a retreat and she was there and we really connected. And I said, well, you've written so much about the soul and I have a different way of looking at it. And I'm not sure, you know, you've already said it. She goes, no, you have a different way of looking at the same thing. And that's wonderful. And spirit is a miraculous that way. And they can look at the same thing many different ways. So I would get some support. I'm assuming it's a female, get some support to move forward with this goal and to remove the block that is making the fear so strong that she can't do it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for that, Carolyn. Thank you. Now, we were talking about signs and symptoms of when your mind, body, and spirit are out of alignment. So if we see some of the signs, what are some ways that we can begin to access our own intuition to determine some first steps that we should be taking to get back in alignment?
Okay, that's good. Well, there's a physical symptom that's very severe. You know, I always tell people they should go to a doctor. You know, I'm an adjunct to medical professionals. So, like, when I had my tumor, of course, I did some medical, you know, some holistic stuff. I also went to a doctor to get, you know, to get that taken care of. So that's usually the first step, if needed. If not, what you need to do is, again, I recommend getting quiet and becoming still and taking deep breaths. A lot of people don't like to meditate. This is a very busy world, and they feel like it's too, it doesn't do anything. It's just a waste of time. Exact opposite, you know, your soul, your spirit knows all the answers. So if you get quiet, your soul's message starts coming up within you. And so the more you can either find a meditation group, I have a regular one, or meditate, or become still, that's, you know, the first thing to get the message to move forward. Another thing is a great way is to change your diet. Now, that's not always easy for people. The more you eat healthy, natural foods, the more you become clear on who and what you are. I just went to a raw detox, Optimum Health Institute, and just within, you know, a week, you're eating raw food. A lot of food clouds your mind and clouds the messages that come through. If you eat clearer, and this is just one aspect, like some people don't need to do this, if you eat and don't have a lot of sugar and salt, then that can also help you to become clear on that. So meditation, also journaling, like I mentioned before, is a great way, writing, having an intuitive session with somebody. Sometimes the answers are right at the surface, and you're just unable to see because you're so in the middle of it. So did you ask for the steps, right? Because I go off on
mm-hmm.
a little bit.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
I can just go and go.
You're doing great. I love this.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so it's just the different things, you know, that, you know, again, I work very spiritually, and those are the first steps. Another thing, if people don't like to meditate, is to ask a question before you go to sleep. Because, again, people come into the spiritual world with their own spiritual guidance, which their archangels or their angels or their ancestors, whatever they want to look at. God does not send you here alone. And say to whoever, God, spirit, angels, give me information in my dream state that can help me understand how to move forward. So, and usually they'll have a dream, they'll have a message, they'll have a sign, and it may not make sense, but, you know, they write it down, they look back on it, or, it makes a lot of sense, and then they can move forward with that. Another way, if you don't like meditating, is if you're cleaning your house and you're doing something that's really mundane, usually information comes. Spirit and intuition comes, little flicks, like little, I should call this person. You know, I should start my own radio show. Or, you know, I mean, little things come through. And if you can also walk, another great way is to walk, do exercise, movement. You know, it's kind of like getting the mind out of the way. Meditation, cleaning, walk, exercising, gets the mind, the ego, and the physical mind out of the way, the chatter, and then the spirit comes in. So those are great ways to, you know, hear yourself and hear what the message is.
Wow. Okay, those are some really great, great steps to take. Now, I know that confidentiality is a big part of your practice, and we certainly want to honor that, but are you able to paint a picture for us of some of the specific ways that you work with and empower people to restore and maintain their alignment?
Mm-hmm. Maintain their alignment. Let's see. Well, I was working with a young sister who was working in a national organization or a well-known organization, and she was very beautiful and very shy. It was very hard for her to. She's a personal assistant over somebody pretty famous, and it was hard for her to move forward, to be able to, have the confidence to move up to different levels in her life. She found when she was in the public eye that she got really nervous, and that's why she had become a public personal assistant. She wanted to be the second person. She was too afraid to be the first person, but her soul wanted her to do more and wanted her to be out there. So I did something called theta healing on her. I worked with her. I did a presentation. She came to see me. And she had a lot of trauma in childhood by the way she looked, actually being ostracized for being attractive and being thin, really skinny. So we worked on that. I looked at some beliefs, and I tested them with muscle testing, which is when your muscles are strong, your body's telling you this is information is correct. When your muscles become weak, it is telling you that this is not, accurate. And I do that with kinesiology, which is actually, doing some kind of arm lift and pushing it up and down and to see if the person's, accurate or whatever the information. So we checked some beliefs about self-esteem, about her right to be here. I think she was abandoned as a child and different things. And I shifted those beliefs spiritually. You kind of pray and do this ritual called theta healing. It's really quick. It's like 2 seconds or 5 seconds. She takes a deep breath, and I go and change it. So then she had this session, we worked through it, and I said, how are you feeling? She's like, okay, a little lighter. But then, like, months later, she invited me back to do a speech, and she was the president of the organization, and I was shocked, and I was like, you're the president now, and she's like, yeah, I just all of a sudden feel more confident, I don't have any fear, I feel in touch with my spirit, and I said, well, when did this happen? She goes, after I saw you, and then kind of like, you never called me and told me, it was just funny, it was a cute thing, and she was so confident, and now she's traveling the world doing all these different things, and I also helped her get some crystals. I gave her, a little bit of a ritual to kind of, write down things, the same things I do, to pray every day, to do deep breaths, and she was attracted to crystals, so I got her citrine, which pushed off a lot of negativity.
Yes.
Because she was a shy and person, and was kind of made fun of. She held this energy belief that I should be made fun of, and she absorbed negative energy a lot from her family environment. So the citrine helped physically to remove energy that was negative from around her, and also symbolically to help her to feel like more confident. And it actually reminded her, it was a memory from the session of how empowered she felt and how she has the ability inside of her. So it depends on the person. Sometimes there's, a crystal or something I'll give them. I'll give them a list. Spirit tells me what they need, and then usually the people follow through. They'll see a change. There was another example of a young girl I worked with at UCLA. She's about 15. She's a diver, a competitive diver, and she had a lot of chronic pain, and it had a lot to do with, I think, an overachievement. She wanted to be a neurosurgeon. She was all A's, and she moved from a different part to L.A., and she wanted to be part of this diving group. She got in. She was great, but the pain in her stomach was overwhelming, and she'd double over with it. So I'd help the pain, and it was in her solar plexus, which is power center, and that was kind of connected to her parents are very supportive, but sometimes that can be connected to parental pressure because the kid doesn't feel like they have control. So, but your parents were, supportive in many ways, but there was a lot of stress within the family. The father had a new job, the mother, they had just moved and different things, and she was a sensitive empath. So I had her do breathing work and learn how to, breathe a certain way and to breathe the energy down through the solar plexus, through the pain. I got some information about some beliefs she had stored, that she had to be over, perfect, she had to be the best. I mean, she was trying to be a competitive Olympic diver. And then I did a hands-on healing energy work around the solar plexus, and she was good with citrine, too, did some crystal healing. And now she's, diving again, and things are working, and I helped diagnose some things or actually give some insight, when you say we're diagnosed, but give some insights of what may be happening. And her mother wrote me back and said she used some of your meditations and breathing when she was doing her diving, which is similar to a lot of visualizations that athletes do.
Wow, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, let's see. We have a question from a caller.
Okay.
Dr. Nee, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
And thank you so much for joining us this morning. You all, we had Dr. Nee on a few weeks ago. The show was incredible. Make sure you listen to it in the archives. That was the Over 40, Over 400 Pounds, and Loving Me. What's your question this morning, Dr. Nee?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say it is so wonderful to hear of someone from Agape, because I grew up in Dr. Morgan's church, Guidance Church of Religious Science.
Wow, great. I did a healing day there recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that was my home church since I was 5 years old. So we're talking
that's
like
where 14. We had your mother's services, right?
Yeah, that's where we, exactly.
That's right, okay.
And my mother and Reverend Beckwith's mother were very good friends when they were young women. So I always love hearing anything that, you know, Dr. Beckwith is doing. So it's wonderful to hear someone from Agape.
That's great. I just got back from a resort, Ojai Resort, with Alice Beckwith. I just was there with her.
Oh, she's so wonderful. Next time you see her, please carry greetings.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. The question I wanted to ask, because I am finding late in life that I, too, have an intuitive gift, and I'm a little bit concerned, I guess because of my upbringing, you know, you have to have credentials for everything. And even though I have, you know, a PhD in literature and a master's in fiction and an undergraduate degree in lit, you know, from Occidental, I'm stepping into a new territory with intuitive counseling, which is because I feel like my gift is more in line with talking with people one-on-one, but not as a psychologist. I really want Spirit is really moving me not to study psychology. I mean, if you get a PhD, you kind of don't want to go to school ever again. But I feel more that I move to just listen to people and really trust that intuitive gift. But it's new territory for me, so I'm wondering if you have any suggestions about how to step out sort of into a new field like that.
Mm-hmm. To be an intuitive counselor, perhaps?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Say your first name again.
Niama Leslie.
Okay. So you've been feeling the message to kind of help other people by listening to your own insight and then giving them messages?
Yes, and I mean, that's happened. I mean, I've had interesting insights about people already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to a friend in New Zealand, and I had never met him, but I knew that he'd lost a child, and then we had a conversation, and he had a son he's never met. You know, I had an instant reaction to a friend of my significant other's, and then I found out that she's struggling with something very personal. And so I feel called in that direction. I feel called really to just rely on my intuition and not undertake a whole new program of study. But I'm a little bit worried about, okay, how are people going to perceive this when my degrees are in literature?
Right. Well, I think it's absolutely wonderful. I commend you for all the hard work you've done in school, et cetera, and probably have a really strong intellect. And message comes to people in a lot of different ways, and there's different people that need different messages, and there's a lot of really intellectual people that need to have credentials and verification when they're getting messages from somebody. So that will help you in some ways, you know. There's some people that, you know, would want to go to an intuitive that, you know, has a degree. there's so many different levels here. One is I commend you for listening to the call because you're getting some really profound information that can help people's spirit heal. And I think the first steps that you have to do is, you know, as you're doing, is acknowledging it, putting it out there to the world, and then, you know, taking some steps to move with it. Do you meditate?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, usually it's how the messages come clearer and more precise. The biggest fear a lot of intuitives have, I don't know if you have that, is the information correct? And the more you meditate and become quiet and listen to your soul, you realize the messages are really not just yours. They're beyond the physical plane. They're broader and larger, and they're usually uplifting and helping. So meditation is a good thing. One is there's a lot of people that are intuitive. I have done some research. There's a book called In the Company of Prophets. It's a book about African-American clairvoyants and psychics and healers, and knowing that we've had a long legacy of it. I mean, that's just one aspect. Since you're intellectual and going down the historical path, of knowing that people are, you know, very that you know, Harriet Tubman was a visionary, and that Sojourner Truth kind of channeled, you know, that a lot of the messages, a lot of the musicians, Coltrane and other people, channeled, you know, healing stuff, music, you know, that was healing and different things. So just knowing that there's a legacy behind that helped validate it, you know. If you're a spiritual person, and I know you said religious science, but even in the Bible, in Corinthians 13, they talk about prophecy. You know, Jesus was a prophet. Okay, that's all like the historical stuff. What you have to do is write your own spiritual mission statement. What do you want to do with this work? How do you want to move forward with it? Forget about how people think and how you're going to make money and if it's right. If you make the commitment to yourself, everything else will show up, okay? The fears will go away. Everything will go into alignment. You know, people will show up. Maybe the show is part of it. It was hard for me to come out, quote unquote, as a reader. But hello.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I
no, we all
blip.
Just got so quiet. We're listening to you.
Oh, no, no.
Yes,
I'm here. I'm sorry. I heard blip. It might have been somebody calling in for me.
Oh, okay.
So what you have to do is just, now I've lost my train of thought, get back into spirit, is to just kind of write down your spiritual mission statement. And the best time to do it is in the morning or late at night. I don't know what works best for you. Just start writing. What do I want to do without, you know, about other people's judgment? And then you can do some practice groups. I'm going to have an intuitive empath, probably a teleconference coming up. There are all these people are coming out that are intuitive empaths. But some people are healers, some people are intuitives, some people are writers, but they have these abilities and they don't know how to utilize them. So there's going to be, you know, there's different things out there. There's classes, a regular meditation class, and also what is the biggest fear that you have? Ridicule? Is it shame? Is it? This is actually a question, it's not rhetorical, but
actually, my biggest fear is do no harm. That's my biggest fear.
Do no harm?
Do no harm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good. It's better than what most doctors do. No, I'm just kidding.
Shame on you.
Okay, what can I say? My mother was a registered nurse. What can I say? I was raised around Western medicine.
Uh-huh.
But that's my biggest. I don't want to be wrong, although I don't really fear being wrong. I don't want to be wrong because I don't want to delay the healing that I might facilitate for somebody.
Right.
I learned very quickly as a college professor that being wrong and not knowing is, like, so, like, not important. You know.
Oh,
but,
okay. So good. So you have that. You've learned that. And you have that in your spiritual consciousness. So it's the same thing. You can't be perfect, but you can help open them up. The biggest thing that I do is I help other people to trust their own intuition. So people usually come for me for a session. I'm usually always teaching them take deep. That's why I tell people to take deep breaths. You know, I have a disclaimer. You know, at the beginning, if anything feels uncomfortable, discard it. No one's 100% except God. You know, I'm just here as a guide. You have to trust your intuition. It's very interesting. Sometimes when people get too, and other intuitives I know, people get too dependent. The information becomes wrong. I don't do readings where people become dependent. I do it in a way that it gives them messages and they need to go and do homework and work on it. But, you know, if they become too dependent, the information gets wrong because they need to trust their own self. You know, they need to go within. So there are, you know, disclaimers that you do, and no one is perfect, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in the imperfection, there's always truth. You know, so there's something that needed to be learned or, you know, and there's, you know, there's different areas, too, just like any other field. There's medical intuitives that have to be really particular about how they call them, if they call themselves that. There's intuitive counselors. There's, like, I'm a spiritual life coach. I'm much better at coaching people spiritually than I am in just, you know, in another different way, a different realm, like money management coaching is not my realm. So, you know, you get real specific. You do some, you know, tests with people. I was in a spiritualist group for about a year in New York that all we did was read pellets, which are just pieces of paper, and we'd read the person in front of us. So, I did a lot of practice. I do healing. I've done a healing, free healing at Agape for 7 years, as long as I've been there, just to kind of get my healing ability up. I do a lot of fairs. I do phone, you know, I practice a lot before, so I felt comfortable with the information. And you'll get signs from your guides or your body or your spirit if someone sitting in front of you is not going to get the information right, or if it's not, or you can't read them, or if it's not the correct situation for them, you know. So, you know, different things. Does that help you?
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. Thank you so much. And just one a little comment. My cycle started this morning, and so I'm a little bit crampy, and I'm on a cordless, so I have the phone, like, lying right in front of my stomach, and it's helping. You know, the power of my voice is helping.
That's interesting.
So I just wanted to let, you know, listeners know, these two women really are on the ball.
Love it. Okay, Dr. Nee, I'm going to go ahead and mute you out. Thank you so much for that wonderful question. Now, Carolyn, there is another question from the chat room. Akilah, are you there?
I am.
Great. Ms. Nisi has been so patient. We've got about 5 more minutes of talk time. So I want to take her question. No, this is great. It's been perfect. All things are in divine right order.
Right.
Akilah, go ahead with that question.
The question is, what do you suggest for those who cannot find a quiet place in their home?
Get out of your home. No, I'm just kidding. Well, nature, there's always a quiet place. Is that there's always a quiet place in nature. And again, like just what Rhonda said, when you ask, it is given. And when you, everything is a perfect and divine right. So if you're going to ask and say, I need a quiet space, spirit, something will happen to help you get there, like maybe going to a park, you know, or going to a place, a meditation group. And there's different, you know, things you need to do. If the house is busy, that's wonderful, and it's love to have great spirits in the house, but there actually probably needs to be time for that person for themselves. You know, there has to be time for, you know, women in general over multitask and overextend themselves and don't set great boundaries all the time, but that needs to be part of daily life, to go to maybe a park for a couple hours and to go somewhere else. You know, even in, like, I work in a hospital, I go outside and, like, ground myself to just, like, stop hearing the doctors and everyone else's opinions about the patient, and so I can hear the inner voices about what I need to tell them to help them to move forward and heal while they're here, you know. So I would advise a person to, you know, try to find a place that's quiet.
Okay, great. And then, Akilah, you had a question of your own.
I do, and I know we only have about 3 minutes left, but Carolyn, how can we support our children who are intuitive?
That's a great question. Well, first, honor them. Honor what they say. I think the biggest self-esteem builder for children is to respect their words. To my children, I say, you know, or talk down to and just be quiet. You know, have them listen to their thoughts about it. Did they see a ghost? Did they see, you know, a being? You know, what's happening? There's a lot of information out there. Doreen Virtue has written a lot of great books about indigo and crystal children. Children have more heightened intuition than I ever mentioned. Every single child I've worked with at UCLA is incredibly psychic. I cannot imagine. They see visions. They see guides. And so once I honor them, it actually helps to open up their spirit, because we honor somebody in their writing and their teaching and their athletic ability, whatever it is, that's when they get stronger, you know. So honor them is first. You know, there's a lot of books. A friend of mine has written a book for children starting to on preschool and chakras. There's new books out there that kids can look at and trust. Help them get quiet, too. Don't, you know, if they're intuitive, they're probably empathic. You know, too much TV is not good. So time where they can write and color and draw and do different things that are creative. There's intuitive camps in North Carolina and different places they can go. And there's a lot of groups around, and I can get some resources. I don't know them off the top of my head, but there's imagery for kids. There's a meditation group. There's a meditation person on the team at UCLA. So there's a lot of things out there. It's just really honoring their little spirits.
Wow, fabulous. Now, Carolyn, if someone wants to work with you, how can they find you?
They can email me at carcole, C-A-R-C-O-L-E, number 9, at hotmail.com. My website is Intuitive Soul Healing, www.intuitivesoulhealing.com, or 323-954-6895.
Okay. That's 323-954-6895.
Correct.
Great. Okay, and they can book private sessions with you?
Absolutely. They can book private sessions. I'll be doing a teleconference soon on intuitive empaths and classes and other stuff. And I'm just starting to work on a book proposal for a major publisher, so I'll be around.
That is great. And please, you know, make sure you keep me on your email list.
Oh, absolutely.
I want to be kept aware.
Yeah. Now, I was so excited we made this connection.
Oh, so am I. And mm-hmm. also, I need the name of the collaboration in which your article appears, the book.
Oh, this the book is called The Spirit of Women Entrepreneurs,
mm-hmm.
and it's you can get it on Amazon. It's compiled by Jeannie Robertson, and that's about 20 women that wrote stories about their journey into spirit and how they trusted. Thanks for mentioning that.
Oh, no, thank you for, mm-hmm. again, just all the work that you do in the universe. It's so, so wonderful. So if there were three things that you can suggest to our listeners that they could walk away with and start doing this minute with whatever they have in front of them to start moving toward getting into alignment and pulling together their whole self, what would those three things be?
Three deep breaths, cleansing breaths. In the morning and at night would be great. Just start journaling and writing, you know. After the breath, just writing. That gets things out. Doesn't have no censure, not about a spiritual mission or whatever, just write. Just let things come out. That's really powerful. And meditation is really important. It's all about the spirit and being quiet. And again, you can do a meditation while cleaning, just by asking before you start cleaning, I want a clear guidance, move forward, or while walking. You know, it doesn't have to be sitting in a lotus position, but that's great too.
Okay, great. Carolyn, our time is almost up. It's unbelievable how fast these hours go. I'm like, I want an 8-hour show to spend with my people. This is wonderful. But thank you so much for bringing us these wonderful tips. This was highly instructional, people. I hope you got really good notes. There is a link to the book that in which Carolyn's article appears on the profile page there on blogtalkradio.com/yourcoffeelady. Carolyn, I know that these and other people's lives will be changed as a direct result of your gracious giving. So thank you again. Listeners, I cannot tell you how much fun I have with you all in the chat room, on the phone. I love spending this time with you every week. And I thank you so much for choosing to spend this time with me, because I know everybody has other things that they can do. Please don't leave the site today without leaving a comment or giving us a rating using the 5-star system provided. If you're looking for a gifted and caring coach or healer, please make sure you get in touch with Carolyn Coleridge. That's our guest today, for those of you who are just joining in. Her website is www.intuitivesoulhealing.com. And listeners, I just want to thank you again for your continued support. This show has been recorded and is available at www.blogtalkradio.com/yourcoffeelady. Don't forget to go to the profile page again. Use the 5-star rating system to rate today's show. We really would like to start developing a track record. And I see other hosts here as well, and I want to remember to do the same when I listen in on your shows. We need to have documented proof of our shows, folks, and that we are a success, because I can feel that anyone on this call who's a host, we're all going to be leaping forward at some point in the future, and we want to just make sure that we have all of the tangible backup for that. Send a link to your friends so they can take advantage of some of the excellent advice from today's show. Don't miss us next Saturday when we'll be talking with Tess Whitehurst, one of LA's most wonderful certified feng shui consultants. She's going to talk about feng shui for health and happiness at home and in the workplace. I don't know about y'all, but I really need some help in this area. Can you say clutter, boys and girls? Boy. Remember to strive every day to take radically good care of yourself by giving to, nurturing, supporting, and caring for yourself before you attempt to nurture, support, and care for others. This is Rhonda Kuykendall-Jabadi, your host of BWP Online, saying thank you and be well. And, Carolyn, I'm going to be contacting you so that you can come and do a live session, a live workshop for us at the BWP Live.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone. Be well. Make it a great day.